Good morning and welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. With more than 6 years in city government experience, Salt Lake City Council Chair Soren Simonsen is looking to Washington for his next campaign. An architect by trade, he's now the Democratic nominee for Utah's 3rd Congressional District, challenging Republican incumbent Jason Chaffetz. But unlike the bruising battle between Jim Matheson and Mia Love in District 4, this race has stayed fairly quiet so far. Simonsen joins me now in the studio to discuss why he's in the race and what his game plan is for the final few weeks before the election. And Soren, it's great to have you.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
Listeners, join us on the air with congressional candidate and Salt Lake City Councilman Soren Simonsen. Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Soren, tell me a little about your decision to get in this race. I understand you were kind of recruited by the Democratic Party to run.
Yeah, I had probably a year or so ago, I had, redistricting was going on, had contemplated maybe running for District 2, which is the district that I reside in, and determined that I really didn't know the western and southwestern part of the state well enough. Had been hopeful that maybe there would be a more urban district created out of that redistricting process, which I think I would be very well qualified to represent. And then kind of put it aside. I had a couple of good friends, Jay Sigmiller and Joe Andrade, who both stepped into the ring in the District 2 race. And so put it aside. And then a couple weeks before the filing deadline in March, started getting calls from some friends and colleagues and leadership within the party who said, take a look at the 3rd District. And initially I declined. I said, there's an incumbent there. He seems to be pretty popular. But after a little bit of persuasion and actually studying the district maps, I realized that it's a very different district. The new third district, has been probably 75% to 80% of it has been represented by a Democrat, Jim Matheson, for the last decade. And even those areas that remain from the old 3rd district are not areas that have largely supported my opponent, predominantly the Provo Orem area. And even though he won by a very large margin, he didn't win by a large margin that central part of Utah County. And given that I've spent almost the last 20 years of my professional career working in the 3rd District, I know these communities well, from Holiday to Montezuma Creek in San Juan County and everything in between, decided that I have a lot to offer and threw my hat in the ring.
So this District 3 includes a lot of Utah County, as you were talking about, a very Republican stronghold in the state. Do you have connections and ties there in Utah County, an important part of this district that you hope will help you out here?
Well, like many who came to Utah for higher education, my wife and I lived in Utah County when we first moved back to Utah back in the early 90s while she went to grad school at BYU. We spent about a year there, and then we migrated up to Salt Lake City. But I have spent a lot of time working professionally in Utah County. I've got family and friends. And interestingly, there's quite a large pocket of Democrats, particularly concentrated in the central Utah County area, at least from my observation and the input that I'm receiving. And the response has been just tremendous.
This is Politics Up Close. We're speaking with Salt Lake City Councilman and congressional candidate Soren Simonsen. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, Soren, has it been difficult to balancing campaigning your day job as an architect and your work on the Salt Lake City Council? I mean, you kind of get into this campaign with not just one full-time job, but two pretty much in a way.
It has been a challenge. I wish I had the opportunity to campaign full-time, but that's not in the cards for me right now. But I am focused and committed and working as efficiently as I can to give it everything that I have. I really have no personal time right now, as you can imagine. A busy job consulting with communities on city planning issues. My focus even expanded this year as the council chair in Salt Lake City, and there's great things going on here that do need a lot of time and attention. And so it's really limited my ability to focus on this race. But the response has been just fantastic. It's a very grassroots organized, and I think that's the best way to connect with voters.
Tell us a little bit, Soren, about your career outside of politics and what you've contributed as an architect that in this community or outside of this community?
So I moved back to Utah. I was born in Salt Lake City, actually just a few blocks from where I now live in the Country Club Mill Creek area, and spent most of my childhood in Texas, in Austin and San Antonio. Came back in 92 and have spent the last 20 years really developing a career and a passion for community building. A lot of my professional work, although I'm trained as an architect, I minored in public policy and community planning at the University of Texas, and have since also studied community leadership at Westminster College through a master's program most recently, and have learned a lot about what it takes to be a leader in building community. And when people ask, do you design residences or commercial buildings, I really respond by saying I design cities. And given that our population is growing more rapidly than ever in human history, the population of the world is growing to a point that is probably five times, in the next half century, will be five times the global population that we were when many of our city modern city planning practices were put into place. And this challenge of natural resources and population is something that I think there's not a lot of focus going on, especially looking at the long-term impacts. We are growing into one of the major metropolitan areas in the United States and potentially in the world. We're a huge resettlement, so we have an area, so we have a lot of immigrant, particularly refugee influx in this area, dealing with cultural issues, immigration issues, transportation issues, air quality issues, environmental issues. I've come to appreciate how important all of these are, both through my professional work and my time on the city council. And I don't see enough leadership within Congress focusing on long-range planning and long-range issues, whether it's the two-year cycles of elections or just responding to kind of the fray of an immediacy of so many issues. I really believe strongly that we need people that are looking long-range.
Does your architectural experience and environmental issues, are those two things that go hand in hand for you? Is, you know, green building something that you've been focused on as an architect?
Yeah. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was involved in helping to develop several green building programs for the state of Utah, for Salt Lake City, for Salt Lake County, and designed a number of facilities that were pilot projects, a new library down at Utah Valley University, several buildings for Salt Lake County recreation centers and libraries. Mm-hmm. And in Salt Lake City, of course, we've been pushing the envelope. We have what may be the first net zero, which produces as much energy as it consumes in our new public safety building here in Salt Lake City, and also looking at that opportunity as we expand our airport facilities out in the western part of the city. So given that the federal government is the largest building owner in the country, and we have so much at stake with how we plan and design our federal facilities, I think having that kind of understanding and discipline to know the cheapest energy we can produce right now is the energy that we save. It doesn't cost more to save energy. It just takes a focus and discipline to make wise decisions. And that's a point of leadership that I hope to bring.
This is Politics Up Close. We're speaking with Salt Lake City Council Chair and candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, Soren Simonson. Join us on the air, 801-355. Talk is our number, 801-355-8255. You can also contact us on Twitter at KCPW. Well, Soren, let's go back to when you were first elected to the Salt Lake City Council in 2005. Was that your first foray into politics, or have you been involved in politics longer than that?
Well, my first interest in politics was as about a 7 or 8 year old when I stayed up the entire night and watched the election returns for Ford and Carter and the presidential race. I think that was, what, in 1976 maybe. And I've always been fascinated. I've been a student of geography and what's going on in the world of politics. I've mostly been fascinated and watched it from afar. But as I started developing my professional career, I came to understand that there are so many decisions that are made through the political process that affect literally everything that we do every day. And as a business owner and as an architect and as a family man, I see all of those decisions that affect sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. And I had been involved. I had been appointed to the Historic Landmarks Commission back in 1999. I worked on a couple of boards, the Parley's Trail Advisory Board and the Utah Arts Festival Board of Directors. Was very engaged in community organizations like Envision Utah. Was one of the very early supporters and have been a huge champion of the work of Envision Utah, looking at how we can maintain quality of life for our community. So although those aren't elected positions, they certainly helped develop a framework for how I view the work that I can do in a political appointment or an elected office.
City Council is unique in that the offices are not party offices. You don't run through the convention process, and all seven of you are officially nonpartisan. Have you been somebody who identifies as a Democrat first and foremost, or are you more independent?
That's a challenging discussion. My first political campaign that I got involved with right after I moved to Utah back in 1992 was actually Ross Perot, who, as you know, was an independent. I campaigned for Ralph Nader in both of his presidential races in 2000, 2004. And so I have been fairly independent-minded. I first registered as a Democrat in 2008. Feeling a stronger affinity and having voted more for Democrats in local and state races. And I wanted to participate in the primary election that year. And unfortunately, our primaries are closed and you have to declare your affiliation in order to participate in that early political process. So I do feel a stronger affinity with the Democratic Party. My personal political views probably align most closely with the Green Party's platform. I am actually quite discouraged that we don't see more participation from a broader array of political parties. I think that's often dictated by the two major ones. We've effectively excluded the presidential candidates in that are on the Utah's ballot this year from participating in presidential debates, for example. And as I look across the entire foray of not only Democrats and Republicans, but Libertarians and Progressives and Justice Party candidates and Green Party candidates, we have an amazing cadre of people that represent more than two viewpoints. And I think that's a better slice of what we are as America. People don't fit cleanly into Democrats and Republicans. Even strong Democrats don't fit cleanly. If you listen to the Democrats that are out, and we've got a great slate of Democratic candidates this year, they don't fit cleanly within the party platforms on many issues. This idea that you have to be one or the other is really, I think, quite obnoxious many times. And if people look closely at the candidates, I think they will find, not only among the Republican Democrats, but across all parties, they will find some really promising visionary kind of people that are working to do good things in their communities.
We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Politics Up Close here on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake City Council Chair Soren Simonsen, the Democratic nominee for Utah's 3rd Congressional District, challenging incumbent Republican Jason Chaffetz. Join us on the air, 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson, speaking today with Soren Simonsen. He represents Salt Lake City Council District 7, including Sugar House and the surrounding areas. He's chair of the council, and he's also the Democratic nominee for Utah's 3rd Congressional District, running against incumbent Republican Jason Chaffetz. Join us on the air. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Send us your tweets for Soren as well at KCPW. So, Soren, during your six-plus years on the council, there have been a number of big decisions, things like the Sky Bridge at City Creek, for example, the public safety bond, a whole host of issues, planning issues as well. What do you consider to be among your most difficult achievements at the council, things that you would point to and say, you know, that was difficult, that was tough, but we got it done?
There's been a lot of big decisions. I'm very pleased for the kind of debate that we had, for example, on City Creek Center, which was a real challenge right out of the chute. And given my background as an urban designer and planner, saw some things in the early conceptualization for that project that were challenging and troubling if we wanted to look beyond just the redevelopment of those two blocks and look at how we can help activate and enliven the entire downtown. And so I threw myself in pretty intensively into those discussions. You know, I lost on the Skybridge issue off, you know, out of the chute, but
you voted for it, though, didn't you?
Not to change the master plan that allowed it in the first place. In the end, you know, that decision had been made and that ship had sailed. And given the work that we did over the year following that initial decision to allow the change in master plan to allow the Skybridge. We did a lot of work to help improve how the project, for example, interfaces with the surrounding blocks. And I think some of those improvements really made the project much better from an urban design standpoint. I think we're seeing some of the benefit of that now as we look at how we interface with the new Performing Arts Center, the growth and maturity that we're seeing come into Main Street and State Street and South Temple. And I think a lot of those things have been very successful. So, you know, we're still dealing with some very controversial issues. We're poised at our upcoming city council meeting next week to make some decisions on the future of historic preservation. And that was actually one of the projects that I first helped launch back in 2003 as the chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission to have finally a policy that deals with historic preservation citywide, and we may actually see that come to fruition next week, which will be very exciting. It's taken almost a decade to see that come to fruition. Probably the greatest accomplishment and what I'm most proud of is what's gone on in Sugar House. The advocacy for the streetcar line and the great work with so many champions in the community who have pushed and been champions and raised awareness about what this could be long-term, what it could mean long-term for our community to have this kind of transit network, small-scale, pedestrian-oriented. And we've done a lot to make Sugar House more walkable. There are more things coming. We're seeing a huge infusion of new housing and economic development. And we've used effectively a $26 million federal grant now to leverage almost $700 million in private investment between Salt Lake City and South Salt Lake, which is absolutely helping to rejuvenate and revitalize these communities.
801-355-8255 is a number to call. And, John, you're on the air with Soren Simonson. Hi.
Hi. Soren, this is John Griswold, and I'm on my way to a concrete pour, so I don't have much time. I just want to say I've worked with Soren on local issues, on open space and recreation issues, and we could not have a better man in this seat. It's going to be tough, of course, because Chaffetz gets a lot of self-promotion out there, but Soren is the guy who really could.
All right, John, we appreciate the call. Thank you. 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255 to join us on the air. John, thanks for your call. Soren, getting to the congressional campaign specifically, your campaign platform is based on four different words that all begin with the letter E. What are they?
Let me before I get to that, just tell John thank you for the comment. And one of the things that I hope to accomplish is to give a voice from so many passionate people in our community, and John's one of those, and I appreciate his good work. He's been a real community champion. Coming back to the platform, there's actually five. I've added a fifth one some of my literature. But the first one, and I think foundational to everything, is ethics. Having been involved now for almost a year with the Move to Amend movement, gathering petition signatures, really trying to be a champion for that as we try and get a ballot initiative. We've been very discouraged and disappointed with not having been able to get it on the November ballot, and you've probably watched as that's unfolded through some little-known case law and state statute. But we are very hopeful to be able to move something forward that will allow people to weigh in on this really critical issue. I'm very concerned with the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court 2 years ago, which is we've watched the infusion of special interest money into this year's election, which has increased by something like 1,000%. of all of the things that we should be investing in our communities, corporate money in politics is one that has completely disenfranchised the individual voice. I believe in my heart that the framers of the Constitution intended for those rights to be to individuals and not to, how do you protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to a corporation? Corporations are not people. They're not individuals. They don't have those freedoms and fundamental rights that were guaranteed to individuals. And so a constitutional amendment that would restrict those constitutional rights of freedom of speech to individuals is probably one of the first things that I would work on. And I think it's foundational to everything. You look at a state like Utah, which has the lowest voter turnout in the country in the last election, and the disenfranchisement that so many people feel about a government that doesn't represent them. Congress's approval rating is 10% right now. And I think that level of support and approval of Congress extends to the good people of Utah. I don't think people are happy. They're not showing up to the polls because they're not feeling an affinity with the political process. They don't like the people that are representing them.
And so one of those E's is the environment. Tell me specifically what you might like to bring to Congress when it comes to the environment. We talked about green building, but the larger issues on the table, we've seen, for example, a failed cap and trade bill during President Obama's first term. What are the big changes that you want to see on the environment in Congress?
Well, like many candidates that are running this year, climate change for me is an essential issue to be addressed. We can't continue to deliberate what's going on with climate change, which is, by all scientific accounts, is human caused. We see the effects of that in our own community. We're already seeing it impact our snowfall and snowpack. It will affect our economy. It's affecting forest fires. It's affecting weather patterns, and we're feeling that directly right now. That will continue to escalate in the coming years, as has been predicted. And if we don't solve this climate change issue now, we will leave a world for our children and our grandchildren that will be in many ways uninhabitable. And that's something that requires long-range vision. It requires an understanding of the issues and how you can shape public policy. Mm-hmm. But as you look at the population growth that's occurring around the world and in the Wasatch Front and the consumption of resources and the carbon the carbon burden that we're putting on future generations, we have to address that. And there's lots of ways to do it through environmental EPA programs, stricter regulations on emissions, and really building communities so that people have choices in how to heat and cool their buildings, choices in how to be mobile in their communities. But it's an essential element to the future of our country and the future of our planet, and one that we need to be focusing on right now.
When it comes to equality, another campaign platform, I believe, interestingly, that on either the Democratic or Republican side, that you're the only House candidate this year being endorsed by Equality Utah. Where do you stand on that? Are you a full supporter, for example, of same-sex marriage on the federal level?
I am. You know, I am a Mormon. I have been my whole life. Mm-hmm. And within the confines of my faith, I understand why it's important to protect family. But in as much as we have made marriage a civil institution, we grant tax benefits for it. There are all sorts of survivor benefits. There are, it's recognized as a civil institution. Those rights are guaranteed by the Constitution, the right to marry who you wish. And the right to be free of religious encumbrances. The first phrase of the First Amendment guarantees that there shall be no state religion. And inasmuch as those that are practicing religion are forcing their beliefs and their preferences on others, that's a constitutional issue that is fundamental. It's the very first, if there's a priority to those amendments, those 10 amendments to the original amendments to the Constitution, that's the very first phrase of the very First Amendment. And I believe it's fundamental that we not. Now, you know, I understand that people feel very strongly about this issue, but inasmuch as we believe and support and are under oath to uphold the Constitution of this land, and I've taken that oath as an elected official now twice, I believe that I have to fight for those rights for everybody.
This is Politics Up Close. My guest is Soren Simonson, chair of the Salt Lake City Council. We have a few minutes left with him. He is the Democratic nominee for Utah's 3rd Congressional District. Still join us on the air. 801-355-8255 is a number to call. Soren, here in Utah, as we've observed, I'm sure you've observed in the legislature and congressional level, much of the talk for the past few years has been about states' rights, about going to Washington to fight for Utah's ability to make its own decisions on a whole host of issues, education being a big one. Where do you come down on that issue? Do you think Utah should fight for more, freedom from the federal government, or do you think that the federal government is exerting its proper role?
Well, first of all, I don't think we should be fighting for anything. Mm-hmm. I think we should be collaborating and cooperating, looking for common ground. We have too many people that go to Washington and are fighting. And when you fight, that means you have opponents and you're using conflict to solve things. Mm-hmm. Whether it's my personality or my background as a professional, I find that looking for common ground, building on core issues, and looking at other perspectives very closely before making decisions is essential. And I think the kind of fighting that we have about state and federal issues and conflicts in values sometimes, those need to be solved in ways other than through conflict. Sitting down around the table, working on issues together, it's a method that's worked well to solve an awful lot of problems throughout human history. And I think we need much more diplomacy and civility, not just talking about it, but actually practicing it. Sit down with your opponent face to face and lock yourself away and understand each other's perspectives rather than shouting across the airwaves or through the media. I think we've really lost our ability to be civil and diplomatic in situations, and we need it not only with what's going on with state and federal issues, but how we interact with countries around the world.
So, Soren, the Salt Lake Tribune recently did a piece on this race focusing on its low-key nature, especially when you compare it, say, to the race between Jim Matheson and Mia Love. I understand there aren't even any debates scheduled between you and Congressman Chaffetz, and of course that would be difficult since he's spending all his time campaigning for Mitt Romney. Why do you think this race is staying low profile, and do you prefer it that way, or do you wish it were getting more attention?
I wish the issues of this race were getting more attention. I'm not here to battle Chaffetz. I'm not running against him. I'm running for something. I'm running for clean air, and I'm running for a mobile community. I'm running for economic development that makes sense. I'm running to support families, and I'm running to support women, and I'm running to support minorities, and I'm running to support immigrants. I'm running to support the Constitution. So I'm running for a lot of things, and I wish more of those issues were coming out. And, you know, we're beholden to the media, and I'm very grateful for you for focusing a little time and attention on the race today. But I think, the kind of back and forth that we're seeing in the District 4 race is really discouraging. Again, it comes back to my earlier comments about diplomacy. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to run a race that's just out there lobbing shots, cheap shots against my opponent. He's a remarkable man. I think he is very genuine in his desire to serve the people of Utah, and I'm not going to comment about who he is or what he does. But I want to focus on what I have to offer, which I think through 8 years of as an elected official, working through some really challenging, albeit local issues, but working with federal agencies on many things that we're doing here in the state of Utah. We need partnership in Washington. We need people that are directing these federal agencies to help support what we need here. You know, they say politics is local, and really most of the issues that we face are local issues because they affect our daily lives. And we need to understand how important that partnership is and collaboration in Washington. And it's great whatever attention comes to this race because of or issues because of what I'm doing, I'm very grateful for.
What are you doing, Soren, in the final weeks and days here to campaign for this race?
Well, this is a very grassroots race, and I'm doing everything I can to connect with people on an individual level. So I'm not doing a lot of media campaigning. I'm out shaking hands at farmers markets, at community events, parking lots of places that people congregate, like art centers and shopping centers and recreation centers, and other places that people go as part of their daily life. As I connect with people one-on-one, I'm finding such a huge support across the political spectrum. I have support from libertarians and constitutionalists and Republicans and Democrats and Green Party candidates. I think people really like the style that I bring, the non-combative nature, somebody that will stand for principles but not afraid of looking at other perspectives and trying to find common ground. And so this grassroots campaign has been absolutely magic for me. It's rekindled my passion for what I do, both as a professional and in my political work. It's wearing me out, I can say definitively, but when you throw your whole heart and soul and mind into something that you believe about and care about deeply, you find great reward and great promise in that.
I've been speaking with Soren Simonsen. He represents District 7 on the Salt Lake City Council, including Sugar House. He's chair of the council, and he is the Democratic nominee for Utah's 3rd Congressional District. Soren, thank you very much for your time and for joining us on the show.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
This is Politics Up Close. Up next, we speak with West Valley City Democratic Representative Janice Fisher, who's running for re-election. We'll be right back.